facts and information.
Paragraph 17.
Page 1017.
May it please the court, I'm fully aware of the right to sojourn right, but that's not the point where we are. That's what's been done. Apropos of several of those things, there's no way to prove it except prove other different offenses, which would be, of course, error to permit them in since they're not alleged. That's the only way to prove some of those things. Now, may it please the court, this is a suggestion of a proper name. There's no allegation that the grand jury doesn't know what its name is. Eric Star would call R. Jigter Ray. And the think that we're one step beyond where they are, it's because that corpus juris secundum body of law that has practiced throughout jurisprudence to so allege that the remedial right of the defendant to suggest his own name is given. It's given by statute in some states. I don't know whether it's by decision in any state, but we are picking up where that law leaves off. And we're now asking this court in its powers to avoid the stigma or the opprobrium or the innuendo suggested by aliases that this man is more than guilty of what's alleged in the indictment, or guilty of more than what's alleged. We're simply asking for the relief now at the point, knowing full well the law is as given, and we respect the call of the court's attention that we are not directing our argument to the law. Everybody knows it's a practice that they possibly could have. I'm sure 2,000 more aliases, but that's our motion, and that's why we're calling to the court's attention.
All right, Mr. Coleman, I think that neither you nor I nor the state gave Mr. Brady's name. He adopted them himself. I think this law about the excessive use of alias is an argument. We'll have to come to that when we come to the argument. But as far as the indictment goes, and referring to him by alias, reading the indictment to the jury, or anything concerning the indictment, misfortune, if any man's alias is, and I'm not going to relieve him of that onus, he having put it on himself.
May it be considered that at the time any such reference is made, we had opposed an objection at that time without renewing it at that time, and thereby adding to the injury, damage, and harm incident to the numerous aliases.
That was great. All right, so the next one. You got any motions for court reporters? I find from reviewing his motion here, it comes down to a situation of the defendant saying, allow us to put court reporters in here and allow us the exclusive right to sell the transcriptions to the news media, and out of the sale of the transcriptions of the testimony, we will defray the expenses of the state of Tennessee by paying the court reporters to appoint. Now, court pleases, I don't recall exactly when the court and the executive secretary of the state, whose name's Blackman, is into a contract and the wire recording system was installed and designated. I think the Mr. Blackwell, clerk of the court, was designated, along with all of his other duties, to be the official court reporter for the court. And we find, if the court pleases, that the wire recording system has been satisfactory. I don't know, I'm getting away from kind of a factual situation, but he's got a legend here about money changes in the temple. I don't know by whom or to what he's referring to there, if the court pleases. The only one that I know of speaking of money is the defendant here. But, be as it may, under our law, it has been used here, the wire recording system. It was agreed upon by the court and the executive secretary. If my memory serves me correctly, the autocratic case not long ago where it was 11 or 12 defendants, about 15 attorneys in the case. All of that was taken down on the wire recording system, which we have here and have been using. I don't know, I haven't heard of any complaints about the record not meeting in proper order that has been certified and sent up to our Supreme Court. It's in the Court of Appeals now, I believe. Now, we find and feel that the court before it is adopted by the court is within the framework of the law, and that it should be allowed in this case. Now, he's attached an exhibit to this record, of course, pleases to say to the court in substance that the recording service is not accurate. The case is Robert L. Kern that he relies on. I say to the court, the record that the court of our Supreme Court is referring to there is not the record taken from the wire recording system that is in the court and was in the court, but was taken from a recording of defense attorney who recorded from that, and they drew up in substance a narrative bill of exceptions, if the court pleases. The actual factual record of this current case resides at this time in the clerk's office of the criminal court here. So other than this case here, he's relying on the inaccuracy of our system. And I say that there's no merit in that, because the record kept by the wire recording system is in the clerk's office. It was a narrative bill proposed by the defense from a recording he made of that recording. Now, I stand to be corrected if I'm in error as to that. Back with the clerk of the criminal courts here, and also the official designated court reporter. I don't know his biblical adage here about money changes in the temple. That's unknown to me. That's how I understand. I stand to be correct that the news media facilities here will not permit the large number of newsmen that want to come into this courtroom and witness this trial. So as I understand, an agreement has been arrived at. It would be a recording system put into the courtroom. And that testimony of the day would be typed up and delivered to the news media as approved without any discrimination as to anyone. Then in return for that service, it is my understanding that the news media collectively and together are going to pro rata the expenses involved in that. Now, as I see that, which is not the state's agreement, if the court pleases, that's my understanding what has been arrived at, looks to me like that's a fair and proper way of treating the news media as a whole, to where there wouldn't be any discrimination as to any one. As I gather from this motion here, they want an exclusive right to take this testimony down and then sell. I don't know who the money changers are, but from the way I stand, it looks like the money changers are on that side of the fence. And not according to what has been arrived at here. Mr. Holmes, I believe, is the public relations man involved in this, is a liaison between the court and the news media.
Sheriff
and the news media.
Excuse me,
sir.
I have no public relations.
I don't know.
By side remark, I think that should be very evident from the evidence in the papers in the last 6 to 8 months.
But be it may, if the court pleases, that is my understanding. The state's argument is that there's not anything wrong with our wire recording system, that it has been accurate, it is satisfactory under the law. So that's our position. We feel that this motion to give him the exclusive right to sell testimony should be denied.
Please the court. Dwyer has again completely misstated the facts of the motion. The court read the motion. The court knows that he has misstated the facts. I don't know who he's arguing to the court or arguing to the audience. This motion...
Mr. Foreman had to make everything on a personal basis to me. I ask the court's indulgence to instruct counsel to leave me out of this and address him
May it please the court, I feel if necessary, if not a hesitant in my practice, I can accommodate myself to any practice. I can accommodate myself to Mr. Dwyer's practice. But it's my duty here in the early stages of this to stop this process of completely stating a prevarication, may it please the court, a complete misstatement of the facts, and then directing one of these large oratorical tirades against something that doesn't even exist. He starts out saying, untruthfully, and if you read the motion, knowingly,
if counsel's going to call me something that I'm not, I feel that I have a right to say something to counsel. If he's calling me, then I'm making an untruthful statement.
You have no right in this courtroom, Mr. Dwyer, and if you and Mr. Foreman have some personal matters that you wish to accomplish, you can be outside of this courtroom. This courtroom is going to be handled backwards.
What I have reference to when I say, said to the Attorney General Dwyer, completely, intentionally, willfully, and categorically misstates the facts. I direct my remarks to the motion and to his remarks. He said they asked the court to let their appoint a court recorder, and then let that court recorder sell the record. We didn't ask anything of the kind. It's a complete misstating the facts. What's in the prior is, wherefore premises considered, defendant praised the court.